I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about in two worlds, the idea that you could be sitting right next to somebody, but you could be living in two different worlds. It's an amazing truth. You could be sitting right next to somebody, but you can be in two different worlds. Jesus gives the example, two people can be laying in a bed. One could be left, one could be taken. Two people could be grinding flour, one taken, one left. Two people right next to each other in two different worlds. So we're taking a look at a couple passages of scripture from Luke 17 and 2 Kings chapter 6 in the story of Elisha today. Let's get started with prayer, and then we'll dive into this a little bit more. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion times, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1. And the prayer of Jabez that's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to go through the other half of prayer, to get still, to examine ourselves, to position our hearts and minds in the light so that we're in the right world here before we get into our time of communion for today. Let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us. Help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So we're going to go through the other half of prayer. And I want you to think about today, part of this idea of two worlds. I once heard the pastor say it. I can't remember who the pastor was. I don't remember what his name was. But he said this, two people can be sitting right next to each other and be in two different worlds. And part of what we're contrasting, we've been talking a lot lately about this idea about, are we positioned in the light or are we positioned in darkness? Are we magnifying the light or are we magnifying darkness? When we're talking about two different worlds, we're talking about living in God's kingdom versus living in the world. We're living in two worlds. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven, it's not something that you can observe. It's in you. It's within you. It's in your midst. And we can be living in God's kingdom right now while also living in the world. It's all about which one we choose to live in, which one we choose to view life through. What's the perspective that we have in life? Two people can be in the same exact situation and view it from completely different perspectives and make two different sets of completely different decisions and reactions and responses, all based on how they're viewing the situation. We're going to see an example of that today. So two different worlds. Our first step, Jesus prays that we would bring God's kingdom to earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bringing his kingdom to the earth. His kingdom is an invisible kingdom right now. And we can bring that to the earth by positioning ourselves in the light and beginning to magnify the light. So we're going to go through a series of four things. I call these four things, I like to call these the four fundamentals. These four fundamentals. Number one, let's get positioned in the light. Number two, let's magnify that light. And then when we're in the light, let's do the things that you know to do and do them with a good attitude. That's number three. And then number four, let's stay tuned in and listening for God's leading throughout the day. Those four fundamentals, we got to keep drilling those. We got to become masters of those fundamentals through constant repetition and practice. So our first one, let's get positioned in the light. God has released us from darkness, transferred us into the light, into the kingdom of his dear son. It's Colossians, I believe, 1:13. We should be giving thanks regularly for that. That he's already transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Giving thanks for that regularly is one of the greatest ways we can begin to position ourselves in the light. But we also got to realize it's the forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light, that makes that transfer happen. And then once we're in, we got to start praising and thanking him for it and magnifying that. But it's the forgiveness of sins that brings us in. And that forgiveness has to be received from God on one side. And it's got to flow through three levels. It's got to be received from God. Just a simple thank you for receiving that from him. He's willing to roll away all of our sins and our past and all these things so he can come in and move in on the inside of us. He can bring his kingdom on the inside of us. And then we got to learn to forgive ourselves. We're often our own worst critic and beat ourselves up and condemn ourselves for the ways that we've missed it. We tend to put excess pressure on ourselves. Learning to walk in that grace and forgiveness of ourselves, rolling that pressure onto God of trying to figure it all out and do everything on our own. It's learning to live this new life in this new world that is connected to God, receiving his grace and goodness and love and letting it flow through you out into the world to impact that other world. But it's got to flow through us, which means we got to let that grace and forgiveness and love flow through us, which means we got to forgive other people. We got to not only forgive ourselves, we got to forgive some other people as well. People, ways they've wronged us. We got to let some things go. We got to release some things from them to truly walk in that light, to walk in his kingdom is to walk in love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. To walk in that continually. And then we got to magnify that light. Our second fundamental, we got to magnify that light. We're all magnifying something in our lives. And it's either light or it's darkness. Much of the world that we live in is about what we're magnifying. Say that again. Much of the world that we live in is about what we're magnifying and the lens that we choose to view everything through. Think of a magnifying glass. It's a lens that we're viewing things through. And we can choose to magnify light or we can choose to magnify darkness. How do we magnify something? It's all about what we're thinking on, what we're meditating on, what we're talking about, what we're imagining and pondering in our minds all day long. And we're all thinking about or talking about or pondering on something all day long. The question becomes, what is it? To magnify the light is to magnify just praise and thanksgiving for God's goodness, his greatness, his kindness to us in Christ Jesus, his purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, his steadfast, unfailing love, that nothing's impossible for him. If he would give us Jesus, how would he not freely give us all things? And to just magnify that, that he's always on time. He knows the answer. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. Magnifying that light continually. And I believe it's praise and thanksgiving that brings us into the light. And the more we praise and thank him and just meditate on his unfailing love, his great power, his all-surpassing power, that nothing's impossible for him, the more you meditate on those things and roll them over in your mind and ponder them and rehearse them and rehear them over and over again, have them coming out of your mouth continually, the more it not only keeps you positioned in the light, begins to magnify the light, where it goes, begins to grow bigger and brighter on the inside of you. But God gives us a choice. He's not going to do our thinking for us. He gives us a choice of what we want to magnify, what we want to think about and ponder and talk about all day long. We can choose to magnify darkness, complaining, venting, talking continually about the problem, trying to solve it all in our own strength, focusing on all the things that are wrong, all the things that haven't happened yet, all the things that people could have or should have done. Those are all darkness. Gossiping, those are all darkness. And the more we magnify them, the more they grow bigger and bigger on the inside of us. Jesus says, be careful that the light that's within you doesn't become darkness. Be careful that the light that is within you doesn't become darkness. How does that happen? By magnifying the darkness, by focusing on it. Now, this doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. You're not going to have issues. It's about turning them back around, turning the tables on them, bringing them into the light and say, you know what? I've got this issue. I've got this problem. It's not denying that. But I'm going to choose to view it through the perspective of God loves me. He's with me. He's for me. He's always on time. Nothing's impossible for him. He can make all grace abound to me. Greater is he that's with me than whatever issue is going on in my life. Greater is he who's with me than him that is in the world. I can choose to view it from a different perspective and turn the tables on it. I want you to think about when you are magnifying light, what you're magnifying, you're going to experience some symptoms of it. When we magnify light, it's energizing. You're going to feel your energy levels begin to increase. It's light and free and easy. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's light and free and easy. That peace that surpasses all understanding begins to come in. That joy of the Lord that is your strength begins to flow through you. You're going to begin to feel those emotions begin to stir on the inside of you. Your energy levels are going to increase. On the other side, when you're focused on darkness, everything feels heavy and full of pressure and oppressive, like you're bound up, you're trapped, you're imprisoned. Your energy levels begin to decrease. The more you focus on darkness, it creates something. The best way I know how to think of it is like a black hole, that it begins to suck the energy out of you. It begins to suck the energy out of you. And then in comes that fear and stress and anxiety and worry and dread of the future, of what's coming in the future. Insecurity, all these types of things begin to come in on the backside of it. All based on what we choose to magnify. And remember, whatever you magnify in your life is going to magnetize you. It's going to begin to attract and pull more of that into your life. You begin to focus on God and his light and his love and his goodness and all he's up to in your life. You're going to begin to pull more of that through you in your life. You begin to magnify darkness. Magnifying the issues, the problems, talking about them, meditating on them over and over and talking them over and over from every angle. You're going to magnetize that and you're going to pull more issues and problems into your life. Whichever one you magnetize or magnify is going to magnetize and grow bigger and bigger in your life. So then our third fundamental, when you get positioned in the light, you can see. And it's important for us to walk in the light that we have, which means what? What do we know to do today? Putting into practice, putting into action the things that we know to do. When we're in the light, we can see. We can know what to do. We can know which way to go. But it's very important that we walk in the light that we have to do the things that you know to do. So what do you know to do today? Maybe there's just a checklist of things that have been piling up on the inside of you. Some things around the house, some things in your workplace, some things that you've been procrastinating on. You're like, I know I need to do that. I know I need to do that, but I keep putting it off for whatever reason. That becomes your checklist for today. That becomes your to-do list for today. and start taking action on those things that you know to do. Because what's going to happen is the more you clear those things out on the inside, you're going to make room for God to do more and more through you. And it's going to get you more and more clear as well. And so two important things, doing the things that you know to do today, not the things you're unclear of, not the things you're uncertain of. What do you know to do today? And then focus on executing them in the light, free and easy, with peace and joy and confidence that God is helping you and equipping you to do those things today. You don't have to do them on your own anymore. He's right there with you to help you to execute them in His strength, in His peace, in His joy, in His power. And then finally, as we get positioned in the light, it's something like a tuning, where it begins to tune you, where you can hear more effectively from God. You can hear more clearly from God. And it's His voice that leads us to the spacious, beautiful place that's free from all restriction. So what's God speaking to you today? It's important to stay tuned in throughout the day. And I think one of the most valuable things you can do is taking a few minutes every day and getting still and listening and reflecting back over the last 24 hours. What was God trying to teach you? What was He trying to show you over the last 24 hours? And just taking a few minutes to write those things down and begin to record your journey. Recording your journey is an important part of this, I believe. So in two worlds, last night, I'm reading Luke 17. And we'll read it here in just a second. And I'm just thinking of it. It reminded me of that pastor that I had once seen. They said, we can be sitting right next to somebody and be in two different worlds. So this is Jesus here. He says, the coming of the kingdom of God. This is Luke 17, verses 20 through 35. This is the NIV version. The coming of the kingdom of God. Once, on being asked by a Pharisee when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. It's not something you can observe. Nor will people say, here it is or there it is. It's not something you can see. It's invisible. Why? Because the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's within you, some versions say. It's already here. Jesus told his disciples, this generation will not pass away before the kingdom comes. That was him talking to the disciples. So it's been a long time since then. The kingdom is an invisible kingdom that is within you. And we can position ourselves in that kingdom. We can position ourselves in the light. Then he said to his disciples, the time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. People will tell you, there he is, or here he is, but do not go off running after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. So now I'm going to say something that's a little different. It's an invisible kingdom, but one day he's going to come set up a physical kingdom. He started on the inside of us. God works from the inside out. He started on the inside of us, in our spirits, in our minds, in our emotions. We can begin to walk in this kingdom right now. But one day, he's going to come set it up physically as well. It's going to be both. So then Jesus says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating, drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. So you see the people here, what are they doing? They're just living for themselves. They're living for themselves. They're completely unaware of God and this whole other kingdom that's happening. It will be just like this on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who was on the housetop with his possessions, who's on the housetop with possessions inside, should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife? The angel told her not to look back. As they're fleeing away from Sodom and Gomorrah, the angel tells her not to look back, and she looks back and she turns into a pillar of salt. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life will preserve it. So it's learning to let go. We talked the other day about how the Apostle Paul says, it's no longer I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Choosing to live a new life, letting go of the old, choosing to live this new life. I tell you that on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. Two people side by side, but two different worlds. Two people side by side, but two different worlds. A lot of this, I believe, I don't know all of this. I'm still understanding it too, just like all of us. But I think my opinion is a lot of this has to do with those four fundamentals we're talking about. How we choose to position ourselves, what we choose to magnify in our lives. So here's another version. I was reading this morning that reminded me of this as well. This is 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 18. The king of Aram, I believe, is trying to attack the Israelite people. And every time he tries to attack them, the prophet Elisha goes to the king of Israel, says, hey, he's planning to attack you. God is telling him what's coming. He's a prophet of God, and God is telling him what's coming. And so he gets mad and says, who's spying on me? Who among us is the spy? And one of his servants says, there's a guy in Israel named Elisha, and he hears from God, and he knows, he hears what you speak in your bedroom. He hears the plans that you're making, and he prepares. And so the king of Aram says, let's go get this guy, and let's capture him and take him prisoner. And so they take their whole army, and they surround where Elisha is living. And it says in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 18, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord. What shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answers. That sounds just like Jesus. Why are you so afraid? Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Because those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And as the enemy came down toward him, Elijah prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So God struck them with blindness, just as Elisha had asked. So we see two different perspectives here. The servant sees the problem. Elisha sees a different world. It's an interesting thing. In this world, on the visible spectrum of what we can see, the visible colors, red, blue, green, purple, on the visible colors that we can see, in the spectrum we can see, it's only 1 billionth. The visible spectrum that we can see is only 1 billionth, with a B, of the world that's out there. Think about all the things you can't see. You can't see wind. You can't see wireless internet. You can't see radio waves. You can't see microwaves. You can't see x-rays. You can't see a lot of these things that are out there. That's why part of this is to position ourselves in the light. It takes faith. Blessed who are those who believe but have not seen. So we're going to take communion over this today, if I can get my words out here. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you brought your kingdom. You've already transferred us in. It's in on the inside of us. It's within us. We thank you for that. And we're asking today, Help us to position ourselves in this kingdom, to be fixed and steadfast in it, Lord. To be positioned in it, to be secure in it, to be established in it, and to be established in this covenant that you've given us. We just thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he told his disciples, "Take it. Receive it. Receive that he makes you right with God and holy and perfect. And it pleases him to give you the kingdom." Pleases him, as Jesus said. Father, we just thank you for this bread and all that you've done for us. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that made all this possible, brings us into the light, into the kingdom of Jesus. And now we can have this covenant relationship with God, where we can know him more and more. So, Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. So now it's about walking it out. Which one are you going to magnify today? Staying positioned in the light, magnifying this world. Another signal: when we're focused on the light, when we're focused on magnifying God's kingdom, I think one of the things that happens is presence. We are externally focused and present. When we're living for ourselves, or even in fear or uncertainty or insecurity, we tend to turn inward. And now we're living in our own world. One of the keys, the indicators, I believe, that we're living in the light is presence. Presence, and then we're aware of God's presence with us. But I hope this has been helpful for you. Hope you've enjoyed our time here together today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.